the son of a dream looking to realize his destiny in WWE. Multiple tag team and intercontinental championship reigns during his first run here in WWE. But now that the prodigal son has returned, Cody Rhodes has reached main event status.
The following is scheduled for one fall, making his way to the ring from Atlanta, Georgia, weighing in at 220 pounds, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes!
Gentlemen, WrestleMania has just become undeniable after 6 years away from...
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Broken Tables Podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey Vegas, here as always with our co-host, the reigning, defending Broken Predictions champion, King Rome. How are you doing tonight, sir?
We're so fucking back, Jeff.
Dude, we are fucking back, baby. Holy shit, that was an incredible, absolutely incredible episode. The first episode of AEW Collision. This is episode number 151 of the Broken Tables Podcast. I'm absolutely blown away right now, Rome. Like, I had high expectations for this. You know, Tony was able to plan this well in advance, obviously, and get everything lined up. I was blown away. This was above my expectations. I didn't catch one single time tonight where I had a problem with the camera cutting away from the good part of the action. None of that happened. Everything felt absolutely on point tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. I thought that it was, man, it was an excellent show. They really came out swinging. I thought the aesthetic was just perfect. Love the red and black aesthetic with the yellow mixed in. The ring ropes were great. The stage was incredible. I definitely like this stage more than I like Dynamite's. I'll say that.
It's weird though, because it's basically the same stage. They've just they've given it some really, really cool graphics up there.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think the stage is a little different because this stage, maybe it is just the graphics, but the stage feels a little bit wider and a little bit more grand as opposed to Dynamite, which I feel is like more vertical. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe it's just the angles tonight.
No, I do agree. It did feel a little wider, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it just felt like a bigger stage.
Oh, man. So let's go ahead and just jump right into it. We start off this episode of AEW Collision the same way that we started off the first dance. We got the crowd chanting for CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk. And CM Punk's music hits on the incredible, incredible stage that they had for this show. And man, he comes down to the ring. And CM Punk proceeds to cut one of the greatest promos I have ever witnessed from a single wrestler standing by himself in a ring and cutting a promo. That is at the minimum top three on my list. I don't know who the other two would be. I'd have to go do some research, but my goodness, this was incredible, man.
Yeah, I mean, having Punk come out and open the show, which I definitely thought that was the right call to do. You definitely want to open the show with Punk, and you end the show with the main event match. And honestly, it was a tale of two Punks. Punk's promo was excellent, in my opinion. I just thought it was really good. You know, he comes out and he says, like, I'm tired of being nice. This is the business. This is a pro wrestling business. You know, you got to do business.
The moment he said, I'm tired of being nice, I was like, strap the fuck in. Here we go.
Yeah, and he takes the AEW box off of his microphone. And I think that this is really, you know, my number one takeaway, apart from being thrilled that CM Punk is back, is that, like, we're going to be okay. I think everybody's fine.
Absolutely.
Because there's no way that they let Punk go out there and say otherwise. I think there's no chance. The Bucks, the way they react on Twitter to the big line later was just like, okay, so they don't seem upset. But so yeah, he talks about, so he says, I understand that the sheer magnitude of me makes people uncomfortable. He says, the WBD CEO, he said, you know, David Zaslav calls him One Bill Phil. And he says, it's because he is a genuine article, a genuine bill in a business full of counterfeit bucks. Man.
Dude, that line got me so good. I was like, holy shit. Shots fired.
Such a great line. And, you know, Punk goes on to say, you know, you can love me, you can hate me, you can like me, dislike me, boo me, whatever. Like, at the end of the day, you're doing it because you know I'm right. And I was just like, what a line. Where it's just, yeah, like, he's like, hey, if you love me, it's because you know I'm right. If you hate me, because you know I'm right, you don't want me to. And I thought we had a really good discourse in this during the watch along, where I think, now I was like, so, like, is he playing as the face or the heel? And the beauty of it is that that's entirely up to your interpretation. And I think exactly that line in the promo really kind of solidifies that, where it's, you know, if you agree with what CM Punk is saying, he's the hero. Like, he is the baby face. And if you don't agree with what he's saying, he's the heel and you fucking hate him.
Dude.
And that's masterclass. Like, when I sit here, you know, in the Discord and defend CM Punk, when I literally make it so my hat and my shirt match and I draw fucking X's on my hands, like, there's a reason for that. The levels that this guy works at is just bar none. Like, they're like, it is peerless. You know, and it's
incredible, man. Just absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And if you can go, I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of Twitter clips of it. Go watch this promo from CM Punk. One of the best single one guy standing in a ring with a microphone. That was one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah. And then one more line I want to touch on from the Punk promo. So he asks, he's like, if you're here for an apology, I'm sorry. It's like, oh, okay. I'm sorry that the only people softer than you are your favorite wrestlers. And I was like, oh.
That's why I love this man. That was one of the most perfect lines I have ever heard.
He's also confirmed that he is allowing us to call him Pepsi Phil. He also says, he saw the Pepsi Phil sign. He's like, you can call me that. That's fine. I'm okay with it. So,
I like it. I loved it.
I absolutely love this segment. A lot of joy.
Incredible way.
Incredible
way to start Collision. Absolutely incredible.
Completely.
All right. Next up, we had Luchasaurus versus Wardlow for the TNT Championship. Dude, this match kicked some ass too. These guys went for a good 10-15 minutes. And you know what? I never once thought Luchasaurus was winning this match until he won this match. And then I was like, of course he was winning this. Like, I don't know what it was, but I thought Wardlow was retaining here for sure. But, you know, of course, Christian Cage being the equalizer, I guess you would say, he catches Wardlow up on the ropes and smashes him in the head with a camera, like not one of the big cameras that they shoot the show with, but like a photographer's camera. And he hits him with it twice, shatters the camera. Wardlow goes down. Luchasaurus picks up the 1-2-3, and we have a new TNT champion, Luchasaurus. And I really like what Queen Nat said in our chat for the reactions. That was the perfect ending to that, and that is exactly how it should have finished.
Yeah, I completely agree. I thought it was a great match. Really happy to see Luchasaurus win gold. Worth noting that Luchasaurus won singles gold before Jack Perry did. Also, Jack, when after he won the title, Jack was on Twitter. He said, congrats, .. So I'm still standing by my prediction. I think Jack Perry is going to turn on Hook and turn heel and realign himself with his boys, Christian and Luchasaurus. I think it's going to be.
I was kind of with you on that until after the congrats tweet. Now I think he wants to go after the TNT championship from Luchasaurus.
No, I don't think that's the case. I think that my issue with that would be is that he kind of already went through the whole feud with Luchasaurus and put him away. I don't think there's a reason to have another match this season. I wouldn't do that.
Did he do that with Luchasaurus though, or didn't he do it with Christian?
Jeff, we were there. We had the cage. We were there for the cage match at Full Gear.
Yeah.
Back in November, they finished off their rivalry there, and then when Christian Cage was healthy, in whatever it was in February, came back.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. Yeah. I really did agree with you when you first said that to me. So you're more than likely on the ball.
Yeah, and they could go the route where they have Jack challenge for that title. That's very possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility by any means. But I think that that's a much more likely road that we go down.
Yeah. I thought it was really nice the way that they had Christian holding the TNT belt the entire time. And I don't even think Luchasaurus held it once, did he?
No, he didn't. And that was such a good moment just to have. So Luchasaurus wins. Christian grabs the belt. And he's like, I did it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Then like Luchasaurus puts him on his shoulders, which again harkens back to the Jack Perry stuff. And it's like, yeah,
right.
that's hella good storytelling.
Oh, so good.
It's my bread and butter. I love it.
Let's jump over to chat real quick. Say what's up to the Coug and Coach Nick. Both said it was an amazing show. Saturday Night Wrestling is back. Thank you, Tony Khan. Absolutely, man. We also got Caleb Ward saying he could see both of our points there. Yeah, I mean, they could go either way with that. That's a good part of this Jack Perry storyline here. So we'll see where that's going. All right, next up, what did we have next? It looks like next up was the Buddy Matthews versus Andrade El Idolo match. And holy shit.
Before that, there was the QT and Hobbs segment.
Oh, that's right, the QT and Hobbs promo. Yep.
Yeah, basically, Lexi and Air's like, Hobbs is going to be performing or competing tonight. And QT's like, when did we say that? We didn't say that. We said he was going to send a message. And the message is that he's in the Owen tournament. And he's going to win the Owen tournament.
Oh, nice, nice.
That was generally it. It was short. It was good. It was fine.
Yeah. Real quick, I just noticed somebody posted that shirt of CM Punk's that I like with Larry on the face with the red collar.
Mm-hmm.
That's a throwback to a Roddy Piper shirt, but it has Larry instead of Piper.
Yeah.
That's the greatest thing ever. I already love that shirt.
It's not my style, but I appreciated the throwback because I did recognize that. Yeah,
he's like a little gremlin. I love it. All right, so yes, Buddy versus Andrade. Obviously we knew this was going to be a good match. These two guys are both fantastic in the ring, but holy shit, dude, these guys blew the freaking roof off with this match. I loved this match just as much as any other on the show.
Yeah, the Andrade match, just such a great match. It was great to get Andrade back out there. I mean, obviously what happened in the past happened. Part of me does wonder though if it's part of a work because I mean, looking back on it in retrospect, it was kind of weird for him to like pick a fight with Sammy and then get sent home. And then like a week later, he's like, by the way, I'm actually having pec surgery or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I always thought back on that. I was like, that's kind of weird. So to kind of see him come back and like, I don't know. I just feel like he was trying to draw.
You never know. Maybe back then they were going with the whole any publicity is good publicity type thing, even though it seemed like a bad thing.
Well, again, that happened. It happened like right after Brawl Out. So, I mean, we had heard it with also with like Eddie Kingston, he got suspended. There was just a bunch of stuff. And I don't know. It just, the timing of it seems kind of weird. And Andrade's willingness to come back to AEW, like if he wanted to be gone, I feel like he would have been like, no, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, I agree. Did you think Andrade was going to get a reaction from the crowd the way he did? They absolutely loved him. The whole welcome back and everything. That was great.
Yeah, no, I feel like I was anticipating that. I mean, I think at the end of the day, man, I think that the hardcore AEW audience, like, they don't want anyone to leave. Like, they just want everything. Like, they want this roster, which is the greatest roster in the history of pro wrestling. Don't at me. I'm not arguing it. It's just factual. Like the greatest roster like in the history of pro wrestling at any time from any promotion. They just want these guys to go in there and put on good TV with great storylines and great pay-per-views. And they can do it. So that's what fans want. So when fans got this Andrade Buddy Matthews match, not Buddy Murphy, Dasha, but Buddy Matthews, like that's what people want. And so people were excited to see Andrade back. And that was, I think that was the fans' way of showing.
Yeah, for me, it was unexpected because I thought he was going to get booed. You know, he's always been a heel. He's always gotten booed. And there was a little bit of like controversy whether he wanted to be here. So I expected some boos, but right off the bat, man, we got nothing but cheers for Andrade. And I think even he was a little surprised. You could see it in his face. He was kind of like, all right, let's do this. And man, they just had an absolutely outstanding match. I was in wrestling heaven for this match. Like this was incredible. Yeah. And imagine being Triple H and watching this match right now. Being like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
I can't imagine being Triple H. I don't know what it's like to have my wife leave me, be the ultimate all-time loser who couldn't beat my competition. And then my father-in-law kicked me off of my position. And now I'm just literally, figuratively, a bitch. So no, I cannot imagine being Triple H. Sorry.
It doesn't seem like it would be a great thing to be at the moment.
It takes a lot of mental gymnastics, and I don't know if I can do all that. Sorry. Just not capable.
All right. Well, this was absolutely incredible match where the finish is one of my favorite finishes in a long time. So Buddy puts Andrade into the reverse Texas Cloverleaf, which was a shout out to his girlfriend, Rhea Ripley. Mommy, and Andrade comes back and puts Buddy in the figure four, and he bridges up for the figure eight for a shout out to Charlotte. And he actually taps out Buddy with the bridged figure four. I thought this was incredible, you know, for them to kind of give in the shout out to their ladies. I'm a huge fan of the women's division of, you know, pretty much wrestling in general. So I really, really enjoyed that little shout out to the ladies there. Even though they are over in the Fed, still okay with me. I really enjoyed that. What up, Jordan? We got Jordan in the chat. CM Punk, the GOAT. Caleb says, laugh, LMAO, roasting Triple H. Yeah, that's Rome's thing. We usually call him Triple L or the Banana Nose Man, something like that.
Triple Paul.
Triple Paul. There you go. That's yours. Yep. Triple L is the one that I like to use. But dude, this match was incredible. Another addition.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I saw the funniest. Somebody referred to Triple H as Jean-Paul Levesque. Let me tell you, when I saw this, it was, I'm sorry, I don't know how badly that came through when I hit the table on the, but when I saw this tweet and it was like, Jean-Paul Levesque, you suck, boy. And I was just like, oh man, I hate him so much.
That's great.
Good.
One thing I do want to point out about this match before we move on is Andrade's ring gear. When he came out, he had a new mask that to me looked like an alien that didn't have a mouth, kind of like a telepathy type alien thing. That mask was so incredibly awesome. Like I want that mask. I want it up here next to my Evil Uno mask. That was a really cool mask.
Yeah, it was a great finish with Andrade hitting the figure four with a bridge. I'm not going to call it the figure eight, so don't ask me to. That was a cool finish. And then, again, Andrade, like we were talking about, he kind of went the babyface route, where he's like, hey, man, we had a great match. Shake my hand. And you think Buddy's going to do it, and the lights go out, and the House of Black are there.
Oh. Malakai looked incredible sitting in the corner. The lights came on, and Malakai's just sitting in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Brody King standing in the other corner ready to absolutely murder him. I mean, this was awesome.
Definitely.
All right, so yeah, Brody King does, by the way, he absolutely annihilates Andrade, and I think that was the end of the segment, right? They just kind of took him out and that was it.
Yeah.
All right, next up we had Tony Nese in the ring with Smart Mark Sterling. And, you know, I was a little concerned with Tony Nese. You know, he was insulting the crowd, and this Chicago crowd, man, you never know. They might have murdered this dude. But thankfully, Miro's music hits, and we get the return of Miro to AEW. And, man, this was a freaking awesome, awesome return for Miro. It wasn't a complete squash, but, you know, they let Nese get in a little bit of offense. But this was pretty much Miro just absolutely beating Tony Nese's ass. Hits him with that huge kick. What did you call that kick?
It's called the Machka kick.
The Machka kick. And then he locks in his own version of the camel clutch. I believe he calls it the game over. And Miro picks up the submission win. Excellent, excellent to see Miro back, and he looked in incredible shape. Like if you were in any doubt whether he could still go, man, Miro looked freaking incredible.
Yeah, man. Again, it's just people are just excited. They just want to be excited about this roster, and they want to see this roster go to work. And this is just another continuation of that, where it's like, I know that Miro had issues with his own booking. And I believe that story, that was kind of the reason why he was off TV. He just kept turning down booking pitches. But it's like, man, like regardless whose fault it is, like you have an opportunity. And I made this point in the Discord earlier when Coach was talking about Ricky Starks, and whether he would leave to go to WWE. I think that the talent on the AEW roster right now have a serious opportunity to cement a legacy, where it's like AEW is 4 or 5 years old, whatever it is. Like you have a chance to like do something meaningful and be a part of it and be remembered later down the line. At this point in WWE, like there is nobody in the company today outside of Roman Reigns who like 20 years from now, people are going to look at and be like, fuck. You know what I mean? They're you're not cementing a legacy. If you go to WWE, you're going there to just be one of the guys. Kind of, you're in the locker room. Like, oh, what am I doing on Monday Night Raw? I don't know. Probably wrestling the same guy I wrestled the last. Except now we're allowed to say the word wrestler, and that makes it better. But no, I mean, I think Miro and Andrade is like, bro, like just man up and show up to work and do great work and. This is the result. So it's like,
yeah,
there you go. We just watched it, what it looks like.
Yep, absolutely. Funny thing about Miro's return here, you could book this guy to be a babyface or a heel. These people are not going to boo this guy for a while. He's going to get cheered for a minute.
Well, yeah, it's all about how badass you are, you know?
Yeah. All right, next up, I'm not sure if there was any sort of a segment in between here. I didn't write any notes down, but I have Willow Nightingale and Sky Blue versus Toni Storm and Ruby Soho next. Did we have anything in between?
Unfortunately, because we were doing the watch along, I forgot to take notes after the Andrade match. I would say there was a segment with Scorpio Sky right after So
there we go. The Scorpio Sky. Yep.
We got the video package with Scorpio Sky, where he talked about how he's been waiting in the wings to come back. He's the future and the president of AEW. And again, I'm excited. It's great. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And I don't think this was back to back, but we also had a CM Punk training montage, a little bit extra from what we had on Wednesday night. So, you know, that was pretty cool as well. I even predicted that on Wednesday. Remember, I said we're going to get like more of a training montage, seeing him actually lifting weights and stuff. I liked it. But yeah. This match, Sky Blue and Willow Nightingale, man, these two girls basically came out of nowhere over this last year. And they are two of my favorite women's wrestlers in all of women's wrestling right now. What about you? Like, are you feeling Willow and Sky Blue like that? Is like I am?
Absolutely, Willow. I'm a big fan of Sky Blue. I think that she's got a ways to go still.
So do I.
So, I mean, yeah, I definitely enjoy Sky Blue's work. Willow, though, I think Willow is definitely much farther along than Sky Blue is. That's a star.
Like, 100%.
I think Sky Blue can turn into a star. Willow Nightingale is a star. That is money. It's just money.
100% agree.
It's just money.
I actually think this time next year, though, we're talking about AEW Women's Champion Sky Blue, though.
I would give it to Willow first.
I can see that. Yeah. She's ready for it now. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying maybe sometime next year, I think Sky Blue will be ready. She's already ring ready. I'll tell you that much. I just need to see her on the mic a little bit, you know, give her a little bit of an attitude or something and let's go. Yeah. Jordan says we all love Sky Blue with the old booty fruit. You know, I think it's fairly obvious. Tony Khan, you know, has good taste. That's all I'm going to say. We'll just leave it right there. Tony Khan has great taste. This match was amazing. I loved the whole psychology of the match was obviously the outcast always try to cheat. They tried to use their spray paint, but the girls were ready for it. Didn't let it happen. You know, Tony Storm and Ruby Soho, they did have Sky Blue in a pretty bad spot, but Willow came in and, you know, that pounce, man. I love that pounce from Willow. She hit a pounce on Ruby Soho and sent her into the barricade. And it looked like she killed her. I thought Ruby was done. But Sky Blue hits the absolutely incredible finisher of hers, the Code Blue, and picks up the win. She gets the win on Ruby Soho, takes the pin. And this was a great match, man. I'm like I said, I love Sky Blue and Willow Nightingale. I think they are absolutely incredible. I do agree with you. I think Willow should be pushed here soon. And I actually think it's really, really nice for her to have that NJPW Women's Strong Championship. It makes her, you know, I don't want to say it makes her look strong, but it is. It does. Makes her look very strong.
Yeah, it's a great making the most out of something bad, where it's like, man, Willow beating Mercedes, man, what a great thing to have happen for Willow. It's crazy.
Yeah. One of those happy accidents, man. You know, of course sucks for Mercedes, but I think in the long run, I think this kind of had the best possible outcome at the moment, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Next up, it was the main event, CMFTR versus Samoa Joe, Jay White, and Juice Robinson. They gave this 30 minutes. Jay White's entrance, along with Juice Robinson, started at right at 9:30 for us here on the East Coast. I was very surprised that they wanted this to go 30 minutes, and holy shit, was this an awesome 30-minute freaking trios match. Did we mention earlier that CM Punk came to the ring with a red bag and he mentioned how what's inside this bag was never taken from me. Someone needs to pin me for this. Yeah. I think we forgot to mention that. So CM Punk is still carrying around his championship belt in that bag. Now he didn't bring it to the ring, granted, but I was in wrestling heaven for this entire, you know, 30-minute match here. The pink gear from CM Punk, just, you know, the ode to Bret Hart, all that stuff. Just, this was absolutely incredible beginning to end.
Yeah, this was just a super enjoyable match. It seems like at first they definitely tried to limit Punk a little bit, and in storyline they kind of did that as well, where they were just like, yeah, "Oh, they're controlling his minutes, first match back and stuff." And I thought that was really smart. There is a lot of money matches in this trios match, just waiting to be done. I mean, obviously it looks like FTR and Bullet Club Gold are going to go that direction. I think you could I need CM Punk versus Samoa Joe. I don't know if it's going to happen next week, because obviously it's the real go home show for Forbidden Door. But can I, in like within the next 3 weeks, get that match, please? Like Samoa Joe 4. Like I need that.
I mean, I want Punk versus Jay White in a one-on-one. Like, their chemistry was amazing.
Right, and that was going to be my next point. Is like, yeah, I want to see Punk and Jay White. I want to see FTR versus Bullet Club Gold. Like, there's so many great matches you can do here.
There's a good 6 months of storylines right there.
Yeah, and so I absolutely love this match. I love this whole show. I thought it was an excellent show. Post-collision, when the TV, when cameras went down, show went off the air. Dax and, you know, FTR and CM Punk are in the ring. Dax says that this isn't about Dynamite versus Collision. This is AEW. They should enjoy all of it. CM Punk and FTR grab a kid that's in the crowd who has a pro. I want to read the actual support LGBTQ youth sign, which was really cool. That was dope. I saw a really nice tweet. I actually put it in the Discord, and it's just like, it's Kenny when he did the same thing with another sign. It's just like, bro, like this is what I'm talking about. This is what it's about. Enough with the fucking tribalism, picking a side bullshit. It's just like, you know, like, these are all great fucking get over. But so that's what happened post.
So the end of the match here, we had Samoa Joe and Punk going at it. You know, Joe had Punk in the rear naked choke. So Jay was holding back Dax and Juice was holding back Cash in an incredible, absolutely incredible spot here, where CM Punk's basically getting choked out. Both of FTR are really trying their hardest to get to him. Cash winds up getting out first. He runs over, helps Dax get untied from Jay, and then Dax breaks it up himself. And this all led to Juice Robinson taking a big old shatter machine from FTR, and then he takes the GTS for CM Punk to pick up the 1-2-3 in his return. And this was an absolutely incredible debut episode of Collision. Excellent main event. This was one of the best episodes of AEW television ever, I say with a question mark, but yeah, I mean, it feels like it. This was fan-freaking-tastic.
I mean, I thought that Dynamite this week and Collision this week, it was a really strong week for AEW television. I thought both shows were just fucking awesome. They were just excellent shows.
I said the same thing, Jordan, right when it happened, but I don't think Cash meant to tag in. He kind of touched someone's leg, and then the ref was like, "Oh, he's in," and I was kind of like, "Oh shit, now Cash is a legal man." But I don't care in trios matches. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a small gripe about it, you know, which obviously you want to see the consistency, but
it would be literally the only thing about the show that I could nitpick on right now.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. So, wow, thank you guys so much for joining us for the reaction show and for the post-show podcast. Monday night, what you got planned, Rome? What do you got planned for Monday nights on the game room?
You know, I still have to go through and make the script. It's been a pretty hectic week.
It absolutely has.
Yeah, so I don't have the final show planned, but we're definitely going to be talking about some good stuff going on. On Monday,
we know you got the new job coming up, so you know, if you don't have everything all lined up, it's all good. We'll figure it out on Monday.
But beautiful thing, I know my schedule for next week, and I'm available for the game room.
Isn't that nice to know your schedule and have a job that like lets you know what's going on?
Bro, look, let me tell you, right? Because I was talking to this because today was my last day at my, right? And because I started a new job on Monday. And I was just like, I found out my new schedule for the new job on Thursday. And I'm like, bro, I wouldn't even know my schedule until like right now for tomorrow. Like starting, the week starts tomorrow. It's 10:51 on a Saturday night. I would be finding out my work schedule right around now, maybe around like 10 o'clock.
That's terrible.
Like what the f-? And it wasn't just me. It was like everyone. It's like, this is fucking ridiculous. So yeah, but I know my schedule. I know that I'm available Monday night and Wednesday night and Saturday night. So that's
excellent. Yep. So just so you guys know, we are changing the schedule just a bit. Monday night will still be the game room. Wednesday night will still be Dynamite's review. But we are switching Friday nights over to Saturday nights. So we will be doing the Saturday night. You know, we're not going to do the Rampage review tonight unless Rome has something something ready to go already. But, you know, not a big deal. But we will be doing the Saturday night post-Collision. We'll be doing a quick Rampage review and Collision. So let's everybody have their Friday nights off to go, you know, have some fun and stuff like that. And for me, this is a perfect Saturday night. Like, I don't go out on Saturday nights. I usually am like ready to come home and chill at around 8. So this is so perfect for me. I love this whole, I love it right now.
Yeah. I mean, right now I definitely agree with that. I think it's a really good fit. And I think that Rampage is a companion piece. And I think that we can use it as such in our show as well. So I think, like, you know, hey, join the Discord. There's someone's going to be watching Rampage. Somebody's going to be talking about Rampage, whether it's me or Jeff or the Coug or Coach Nick. Like, somebody's watching Rampage. Like, just because we're not doing a Friday show doesn't mean you can't interact with us and our community and talk AEW Rampage. That's what the Discord's for. So, you know, we might, like, absolutely. I think, Jeff, I think going forward, we're going to have to see where we're at. I have a feeling like Rampage might not be a super topical show. So, I mean, we'll tweak it as we go, but I think that might be a good way to do it, where it's like, hey, if something big happens on Rampage, we touch it on the Saturday show. But I think, like, hey, like, it's a great incentive for people to come and hang out on the Discord. It's like, hey, if you want to know my thoughts about the Bandido Takeshita match from Friday, which it was fucking incredible, you know, I watched it last night and I commented on it live in the Discord. So I think definitely do that.
I kind of want to see you run through a Rampage review in like a minute, like Excalibur does. I think that would be, interesting.
Okay, well, so yeah, I guess let me go off memory. The mixed trios match was god awful. Once again, I don't think Ed's here tonight. Ed is never here when I'm critical. So then when it comes around, he says I'm never critical, and like I need someone someday when the moment arises again. I don't, Jeff, whether it's you or Coach or the Coug. When the moment arises and Ed accuses me of never being critical about this product, like, I need somebody to be like, actually, Rome is critical. You're just never there.
Hey, we have clips now. If you didn't know, we've got clips on YouTube. So you could clip that and send it to him if you want.
Yeah. So somebody help me out, please. Somebody just do that, because whenever I don't like something in AEW, because it does happen again, I'm like, my opinions are real. I'm not just some blind, like, oh man, AEW is perfect. They're not perfect. They're in my opinion, the closest thing to it, but you know, in the wrestling landscape, but they're not perfect. So like, it's funny to me, whenever I don't like something, Ed is never there. And then he's just like, you never say anything bad. I was like, cause you're never fucking here when it happens. Crazy. Thanks, Coach. I appreciate that, man. But yeah, I think that's a great way to do Rampage. The mixed trios match was fucking terrible. Hated it. I was just like, this is bad. It was bad. It was really bad. Papa Briscoe shouldn't have been there. I felt like they booked this match like 7 or 8 months ago before Jay Briscoe passed, where they were like, hey, when we get you on TV, we want to do this trios match with the Briscoes and Aubrey. And it's like, I just felt like they were like, hey, can we get Papa Briscoe in here to do these spots that you and your brother used to do? And it's just like, I didn't really like that. And
I enjoyed it for what it was. I enjoyed it.
I know you did. I'm sure you did.
I thought it was really funny when Papa Briscoe got in the ring and Lethal and Jeff Jarrett were like afraid of him. Like neither one of them wanted to face him. it was goofy wrestling at its best, you know what I mean? Or, you know, maybe not at its best, but it was goofy wrestling, and I enjoy it once in a while.
See, there's a way to do goofy wrestling correctly, though, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to draw a line. I know one of my favorite wrestlers is the guy that wrestles with his hands in his pockets, but I'm going to draw a line on Jeff fucking Jarrett and Jay fucking Lethal being afraid of a man who could barely walk. I'm sorry. I could not buy that at all. It just wasn't, I don't know. That was a bad match. The Trisha Dora, Taya Valkyrie thing was pretty decent. I thought Taya the past 2 weeks has actually been pretty good. And very good. Obviously, again, Ed's never here, but I've been critical of Taya as well. I thought that she's improved since Double or Nothing. So that was decent. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
The Takeshita Bandido match was excellent.
Incredible.
I love that match. I absolutely loved it. And
That match would have fit nicely in Collision tonight. Like, if that was on Collision, oh my God.
And then I forget what the fourth match was, Jeff. Can you remind me?
There was a fourth match?
There was a fourth match. Somebody not can chat. I don't, because again, I don't mind doing a quick little rundown. Just don't remember. I didn't take any notes.
Bandido, and that was the finish, wasn't it? Hold on, I got Rampage right here. Hang on.
See, I'm actually looking at it.
Oh, it was the Chaos versus United Empire. How do we forget that one, dude?
That was great. Yeah, that was awesome. That
was sick. Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher. Oh, so good.
So, like, those are the kinds of matches, like, that first match and the main event are exactly what I think Rampage should be. Rampage doesn't need to be a story show. Like, I don't, like, as much as I love storytelling, like, it doesn't need to be that. I think you can just go in there and have great matches that can help improve the stories you're telling on Wednesdays and Saturdays. For like Takeshita Bandido, like that match doesn't really serve a storyline purpose. It does, but not between the two of them. It serves a purpose that, you know, Takeshita is now under Don Callis, and this is him now. This is his new style, his new persona. And you're seeing that on display. And I think you should do more things like that on Rampage. Yeah.
I got you.
It was great. It was a good show for what it was.
Yeah. All right. So another cool part about Collision was they gave us a huge rundown of what's going on Dynamite this week. Do you have the rundown for Dynamite in front of you?
No, again, I was doing a watch along, so I got swept up.
Let me see if I can find it here real quick.
I remember that Chris Jericho, Minoru Suzuki, and is it Jericho? Or, I mean, is it Sammy? It's either Sammy,
it's
Sammy or...
Sammy. Yeah, it's Jericho, Sammy, and Suzuki.
Yeah.
Versus Action Andretti, Darius Martin, and AR Fox.
Right. And then also we have the Hardys versus the Guns. The Hardys versus the Guns is happening. Zack Sabre Jr. and Daniel Garcia versus Orange Cassidy and Shibata. That's going to be really good.
And Statlander versus Taya Valkyrie for the TBS Championship, looks like. That's going to be nice.
Yeah, it's going to be really good, too.
I can't wait, man. This is... I think we're entering into a new era of AEW right now. And I have a feeling it is going to be incredible.
Well, yeah, absolutely. This is a big summer for them. As we've been talking about leading into the summer months. Obviously, with Collision launching, you have your two flagship shows. That those are important. You have Forbidden Door. You have All In. You have All Out. It's a very big summer for them, ending in September on All Out Week. So,
Man, I can't wait for this next year. It's gonna be insane.
Yeah. So,
I'm looking forward. Coug, I got to go to what the Coug just said. Takeshita yelling in Spanish and Bandido yelling Takeshita yelling in Japanese and Bandido yelling in Spanish at like when they were facing off was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I loved it.
Yeah, that was really awesome as well.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for joining us for both shows tonight. You guys are freaking awesome. Thank you guys very much. Rome, you want to go ahead and close us out here?
Absolutely. Well, this is episode 151 of the Broken Tables podcast. Thank you for everyone joining us here tonight. If you liked what you saw tonight, please hit the like button and subscribe, whether you're here with us live or watching us sometime in the future. We appreciate that.
Thank you to everyone in chat tonight. Coach Nick came through. The Coug. Jordan was here a little bit. I think Michael Duke was here. Caleb Ward was here earlier. Nice to see Caleb again. Haven't seen him in a little while. Oh, Caleb, I will always roast Triple H if you're here. If I see you, it's on site. I got it. So yeah, that was fun. This is our Saturday Collision Review, which is our new Saturday night podcast taking place from, you know, taking the place in the scheduling over the Friday show. So we go live with the Game Room podcast every Monday night talking about video games. We talk about AEW Dynamite on Wednesdays and AEW Collision on Saturdays. We do pay-per-view shows. King's Court Invitational Round 2 is coming up at Forbidden Door. Keep an eye on the Discord for those that are still in the tournament for more details. You can follow us on our social medias in the description below the video. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Until next time, we're fucking back.
We are back, baby. And I do want to say I am going to start uploading to Spotify again. I believe I've got the account straightened out. So I'm going to try to upload this episode to Spotify here tonight. Cool. Yeah, we'll be back on the old Spotify. But until next time, top guys out.